Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Overcoming guilt before God. Have you dealt with guilt in your life? I would trust that all of us have, at least those of us who have lived any time at all upon the face of this earth. Guilt is something that certainly needs to be talked about, as well as needs to be understood and to be dealt with whenever it comes to our lives. We deal with guilt from a society standpoint, do we not? In fact, in our court systems, a lot of times, individuals who appear there, they are asked to enter a plea, whether they plead to be guilty of a crime that they have been accused of. In regard to this, guilt itself carries with it the idea of responsibility. An individual with guilt may be responsible for saying something that they are being held accountable for. They also may be guilty of or responsible for doing something that they are being tried for. When we look at guilt also, I believe that it carries with it the understanding of conviction. Now, in that, one might be convicted of, from a civil standpoint, by a judge or by a jury, they may be convicted of a crime, being found guilty. But the way in which I want us to think about it during the time in which we study together this morning is where that the individual thinks about what it is that they have said or done, and therefore they are convicted of it from a mental standpoint. Have you ever dealt with guilt from that angle, to where that you maybe have said something or done something and it brings sadness to you because it hits you that you shouldn't have said it or that you shouldn't have done it? It also carries with it this idea of remorse. You wish that it hadn't come out. You wish that it hadn't happened the way that it did, and therefore there is this feeling of remorse and regret. Have you been there? I know that I have, from time to time in my life. And when we think about guilt as it pertains to our relationship with God, as well as it deals with us here in this world, I want us to understand that shame, the feeling of shame, as well as the feeling of guilt, that these things are God-given. You see, God is responsible for creating us, and we know that we are created after the very image of God. And whenever God created us, we know that He placed within us a soul and spirit, and the spirit is a part of who we are while we are here in this world. But there's another important denominator there that I believe needs to be brought into this equation, and that is the conscience. God has created us. I believe that it is innate. He's put it in us, is that we might have a conscience in regard to the things that we say, the things that we do in this life. To know that whenever we do something that is good, we have those feelings of being able to have satisfaction, gratitude within us. But also, whenever we do things that we should not do or say things that we should not do, then there's the feeling of shame and guilt that God wants each and every one of us to feel. These emotions, I believe, have both an inward and outward effect. Inwardly, mentally, we are challenged, are we not? Whenever a person feels guilt, they have stress going on within them. Whenever a person feels guilt, they have anguish. They are saddened over the state of condition of which they find themselves in, not knowing what to do or what to say to change things. And oftentimes, from a mental standpoint, it will even lead them to being depressed, and sometimes to the point to where they are deeply depressed and they need to seek counsel, and they need even sometimes medication to help them get over that. But friends, I believe that the greatest of all is to confess our faults. And in confessing our faults, then we are well on our way to recovering from guilt. There's also this physical aspect. People who deal with guilt, who are stressed out over things that they've said or things that they have done, they're always worn out. And that's not always why we're tired. We're tired because of work. We're tired because the body itself, as we grow older, wears out. But also guilt factors into the equation as to why people are tired. And people who carry guilt around endlessly, it also leads to health issues and other problems in individuals' lives. The Scripture makes these things very clear. As you might want to study on your own, the passage that I'm supplying below the points on the PowerPoint. And someone might ask, well, why would God put it within us that we would have the feeling or emotion of guilt in our lives if indeed it causes all of these different mental as well as physical emotional challenges in our lives? I believe that God wants us to be challenged. God wants us to realize whenever we mess up. He wants us to analyze our words and our behaviors continually. But not only does He want us to realize whenever we have fallen short in these areas, in the ways in which He expects us to live in life, He also wants us to come to that point to where in this realization that now we say, I need to deal with it. I need to own up to my faults. I need to do everything that I can to straighten things out with God, but also to straighten things out with my fellow man. Does God deal with these things from a biblical standpoint? Most certainly He does. Scripture gives us a wealth of information with respect to guilt, the importance of guilt, and the avenue that God has put within us concerning guilt to help us understand our faults and things of that nature. But also God gives us a number of different examples in the Scripture. As we think about guilt this morning, I want us to go back to the life of Joseph from the Old Testament Scripture in the context of Genesis chapter 42 all the way through Genesis chapter 44. And when we think about Joseph, oftentimes we think of this man and we apply lessons that we learn from his life. And certainly there are lessons that we can learn from this man's life that are applicable to us that we need to understand. Take into consideration Joseph. He was favored by Jacob, and his brothers hated him. His brothers despised him. And with respect to that matter, we know as we see the hatred of his brothers, they set Joseph up and they put him into a pit. And my friends, as a result of that, we know that Joseph is eventually sold into slavery. And being sold into slavery, he's later in prison. You will recall, as you study from the context of Genesis, the entire Genesis account is that Joseph rises to power in Egypt before the Pharaoh. And yet the Pharaoh's wife came after him and wanted him to have an improper sexual relationship with him. And Joseph didn't want anything all to do that with her because she was married. And in that, as he fled from her, she tore his garment. And then she took in the garment and she lied before her husband. And then as a result of that, Joseph is put into prison. Well, while he is in prison, we also know is that the Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker are also put into prison. Now, we're not told why. What it is exactly that these men have done, other than the fact that they have offended the king, and that's why they're in prison. After they are there for some time, we also understand is that Joseph in prison is in charge of certain prisoners. And both of these men, the cupbearer as well as the baker, have dreams, and they're not able to understand their dream. And it was most commonly known or thought amongst the Egyptians is that you had interpreters of dreams, and being in prison, they didn't have access to the best of interpreters, if you would. And Joseph, being a man of God, reveals is that God in heaven, not the God of the Egyptians, but the eternal God, Jehovah God, is able to give the interpretation of dreams. So therefore, Joseph interprets the dreams. First off, he interpreted the cupbearer's dream as that in 3 days, and here's the interpretation of it, in 3 days, he would be restored by the king, by the Pharaoh. And he would once again be able to test the cup, if you would, of his servant or of his master. And also, though, Joseph gives an interpretation of the baker's dream. Also in 3 days, he would appear before the Pharaoh and it would not turn out so well for him, but rather he would be hanged and his body would be delivered out for the birds to peck from his dead body. Certainly enough, in 3 days, as Joseph has interpreted, that is exactly what takes place. And my friends, in regard to that matter, we know that Joseph is a man of God, and that God was working through this man, not only to interpret these dreams, these visions, but also for the good of humanity at that time. Joseph later on, not immediately, because the cupbearer forgets the favor that Joseph has requested of him, that he would remember what it is that he's done as he gets out, and the cupbearer forgets all about that and doesn't reveal to the king until later the king has a dream that needs interpreted. And finally, though, Joseph is brought out, he interprets the king's dreams or the Pharaoh's dreams, and then he is able to be exalted again to where that now he is in charge, and there's a famine that's coming upon the land, and people from all over, far and wide, must come to Egypt in order for them to be able to survive the famine. Well, guess what? Joseph's brothers, who has led to him being sold into slavery, they're dealing with the famine themselves, and they come to Egypt. And who is it that they are connected with there? Joseph, the Scripture teaches us. And as a result of their being reunited with their brother, they come to understand that he is in charge and that he's able to take care of them. And there's so many great lessons that we could learn as a result of all this, because Joseph does for them what they were not willing to do for him in regard to their relationship. But also note what we can learn about guilt as it pertains to Joseph and his brothers. They inquire in regard to what it is that God knows about them. This is in chapter 44, beginning in the context of verse 16. And in this inquisition, we understand is that these men come to understand that God knows exactly what it is that they have done against their brother. And what do we find here? They are convicted of their sins before God. And in this idea that they feel guilty, no doubt there's a feeling of remorse. And they are wanting to know what it is that they need to do in order for them to be forgiven by God. You see, they understood that not only did Joseph know what it is that they have said and done against him, but they have come to understand, and we don't know at what point it hit them, you might say. I believe that there's indications early on, whenever all this is going on, is that at least Judah understood at least part of this. But at least at some point, they come to be convicted of what it is that they have done. They feel guilty of the sin that they have committed. And as a result of this, they want to know what they need to do in order to be right before God. My friends, as you consider the context of what's stated here from Genesis chapter 42 through Genesis chapter 44, verses 16, 17, and 18, as well as what we learn about guilt from the psalmist in Psalm 32, verses 1 and verse 2, is that guilt robbed these individuals. Guilt robbed these men of being able to have peace with our God, because that's the context. They want to know, what is it that we need to do in order for us to be right in the sight of our God? But also, I believe that as we think about their situation, and as maybe we think about our situation whenever we deal with guilt in our lives, I think that we find here is that their shame even kept them from having inner peace within. Now, we don't know exactly how long has transpired from the time in which this has happened to this point in time. We can certainly tally some things in regard to the age of Joseph and things of that nature to maybe give us a roundabout figure as to how many years have taken place here. But can you imagine carrying this guilt around for years on end, that you're not right with God, and now you're not right not only with God, but you're not right with your brother? You've done your brother wrong. How that this must have been a battle constantly going on within these individuals. from the context of what we find in Genesis chapter 42, verses 14 through verse 26. And then you can join this with what you find in the Psalm by the psalmist in Psalm 32 and verse 5. It was only at the point of confession, admitting their faults before God and admitting their faults before their brother, that they're able to be relieved of the shame and be able to be relieved of the guilt, this feeling of sadness, this feeling of being responsible. They're able to be relieved of these things and then to move forward with their lives. Do you have guilt that is troubling you in your life? Are you haunted by a sin that only you and God knows? I couldn't tell you the number of times throughout the course of my work in the Lord's church, even before going to school, how that I would have people come to me from time to time and they would say, "I said this years ago, and I wish that I had never said it. And it has been haunting me. It has been troubling me all these years, and I need to talk about it." And on a number of occasions, I have found out in the course of my conversation with these individuals is that they've carried it and they've not taken back to the person or people that they've wronged. And that's the first thing that I challenge people to do is that, you know, you can quickly be relieved of this. You can quickly take care of this if you go back and admit your faults. More times than not, they've done that. But on an occasion, and especially there's one occasion that especially comes to my mind, where a person had told me that they had said something or done something, I can't remember exactly which it was, and the person that they had wronged had already died. And they said, "Kevin, now what do I do? I can't go back to them." And I said, "Well, does the family know about it?" They said, "Yeah, they do." And I said, "Well, you can go back to the family and talk to the family." And they did. And I said, "Also, you can go before God and God will forgive you. You confess your faults before God in a public way because this was a public thing. And God says that He stands willing and ready to forgive us of all unrighteousness." And that person especially, and others came back as well, but this person especially came back and they said, "You know, sitting down and talking with you helped me so much to be able to say, you know, I've got to deal with this. I can't keep carrying this around because it's daily. It's something that I'm facing daily that's challenging me." And they said to be able to go to that man's family and to apologize to them for what it is that I've said or done, they said, has brought me complete satisfaction to know that God has also forgiven me. You see, if there's public sin in our lives, it's stealing that peace and that joy that God wants us to have. God wants every one of us to live at peace with Him, to have peace with Him, and to have that peace that surpasses all understanding within ourselves, and to have this joy of life, to know that we're trying diligently to live our lives before God. And as a result of that, if you're carrying sin, you know that you're challenged by those things, you're troubled from within, and this morning, if it's something that you're carrying that you've not dealt with, I ask you, how long are you going to wait? How long are you going to be burdened by it? And above that, I want to challenge you with this thought. Are you willing to risk your soul? You see, I believe that whenever we have sin in our lives, any sin for that matter, but this morning we're talking about the sin of guilt, whether you've said something, you've done something that is a violation of God's law, whenever you've wronged God or whenever you've wronged your brethren or whenever you've wronged somebody in the world, fellow man, that we also place our soul at risk. And we put ourselves in a position to where we are out of a relationship with God. And the only way in which you can take care of that is to bring it before God And if it's something that needs to be dealt with even publicly with your fellow man, you need to go to those individuals and you need to be reconciled with them on the matter. You see, forgiveness and inner relief only comes whenever we confess our faults. The Scripture says in the book of James chapter 5, verses 10 through verse 17, that if we confess our faults, God is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. And in doing so, then we know that God forgives us. And knowing that we are right with God, my friends, also not only will help us to know that we have hope in the day of judgment, but it will give us the courage and it will give us the pleasure to be able to walk forward each and every day of our lives to know that we are right in the sight of God and with our fellow man. Are you dealing with guilt in your life? Is that guilt sin that keeps you from a relationship with God? This morning I want to urge you and I want to encourage you, don't carry it around any longer. Bring it before God. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to make the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We also want to encourage you, as we sing here in just a few moments, to surrender, to submit yourself, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you are a member, you're erring in regard to your relationship with God. We also want to encourage you with the invitation with our song to come forward. We will pray with you and for you, knowing that God will forgive you, and we will encourage you from this day forward.